Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
What'll it be? What'll it be? This is Dee Franklin repping the BK in NYC, probably one of the last MCLA podcasts we will ever record here in my Brooklyn apartment. But as always, an exciting week of MCLA lacrosse to talk about. Upsets in Division II, coming off of the Division II focus that we had last week. Indiana taking down St. Thomas, the big CCLA clash that took place against some of the top UMLC teams this past weekend was absolutely exciting. Big games on the docket for this weekend, right before we approach conference tournament time, and whenever it's time to break out that bracketology calculator, it certainly gives me a headache. But let's get into 15 minutes of fame and welcome in our guest for this week, keeping the Midwestern UMLC theme kind of going, having Zach Bosch last week in addition to Terry Nichter. But first 15 minutes of fame, we'll start it off with our Division I Player of the Week, which was actually Ward Spencer, the junior attackman out of Simon Fraser. The Canadian clan really beat down on the Washington State Cougars out of the PNCLL, a 30-2 win for SFU. Ward Spencer had 14 points on 9 goals and 5 assists in this game. Tyler Kirby, a Gotakra Award Player of the Year hopeful, was the honorable mention with 7 goals and 3 assists, 10 points. That's 24 points between two players in the 30-2 win for Simon Fraser. Absolutely outstanding. Our Division II Coach of the Week is our guest from last week, Zach Bosch from North Dakota State. We talked about everything that was going on in Division II and how much it's focused, and how much the talent in MCLA Division II is focused on the central region of the country. Indiana Tech had just beaten St. Thomas for the first time in 29 games, and ultimately Indiana Tech had to do battle with the likes of Dayton and St. John's and North Dakota State and Grove City. North Dakota State had a tough one-goal loss to Dayton, but ultimately really put away Grove City and gave the Wolverines a result that and a losing taste in their mouths that they hadn't seen in quite a while. And then, of course, defeated Indiana Tech, the Warriors, in overtime. The Warriors needed overtime to defeat Pete Moosebrugger's St. Thomas Tommies. But North Dakota State, Zach Bosch, and the Bison get revenge back for the UMLC in that one, defeating the ITU Warriors. The Division II Player of the Week is actually Jacob Helmer out of the Midwestern clash there, playing for St. John's. Listen, Derek Dane's kids really know how to perform when the deck is stacked against them. This was a huge weekend for St. John's, getting in a lot of games against all those opponents, even playing a doubleheader. Helmer had 15 points on the weekend. It is possible that St. John's will have consecutive Gotakra Award winners. Stevie Johnson with the pole won it last year, and maybe Helmer will win the award as a short stick offensive threat this year. And from St. John's, Minnesota, we take things to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and our Division I Coach of the Week receiving 15 minutes of fame is Rich Limpert. Coach Limpert corrected 3 straight losses with 3 consecutive wins in 3 pretty tough non-conference games, which we'll talk about just about now. Coach Limpert, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
So, Coach Limper, let's talk about the first of the 3 games that you won in this win streak. You were on the road in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa Town, taking on the Crimson Tide. You had a nice win there. It seemed like your team was really strong defensively in that game. You held Chris Palasek, a really outstanding talent out of Rocky Point, Long Island, had 2 brothers that played Division I. He was a Division I recruit that just wanted to play a Southern MCLA ball, but you held him to 0 points for only the 3rd time in his career. You know, defensively, specifically, what do you really take away from your win over Alabama?
Well, I think we really shuffled the deck down there and found where we're solid. When I say that, I mean we've got a lot of defensemen, a lot of holes on our team, and finding that chemistry, that's really been the hard part for us and who works well in what situations. So, you know, the guys are they're coming together. We found a little grit with Griffin Clements getting into the middle there. Mm-hmm. Steve Van Sloan's come into his own. And then there's a host of other guys that are working in. Ben Gavin's coming through injury. Rob Dreich is seeing some meaningful time along with Marshall Ringsdorf. So when you look at that, the depth chart's pretty deep, and finding who can contribute constantly has been a challenge.
And, Coach, you followed things up with the win that you had over Alabama with two more out-of-conference road games a little bit closer to home in your region of the country, but two tough ones nonetheless. Nice little Big Ten branded games, if you will, for your Gophers. First, a 17-4 win over Purdue, who's the defending GRLC champ, and then taking care of business against the IU Hoosiers 9-6, who's perhaps the favorite out of the GRLC this year. What are your impressions of those two Big Ten kin of yours, and you know, comparing the two and kind of putting on your analyst cap to see, you know, who's going to come out of the GRLC and make it to Orange County? Do you think that the Hoosiers have the edge this year?
Putting me on the spot there. you know, both squads looked pretty good. I'm not sure that Purdue game was as spread as it was. I mean, it was a fast paced game. I think. You know, we came out off the bus hot after knowing that, you know, we dropped one to Georgia Tech because we came out slow. We got behind in South Carolina. You know, we started to figure out what our chemistry was getting off the bus and on the field. I think we just shortened up warm-ups and the guys hit the field fast against Purdue. We went on an 8-goal run to start the game. And that kind of held over into the Indiana game. We started 6 unanswered right away. Indiana got back into the game. But, you know, I think, honestly, both teams are quality squads. They're both well coached. I know Pete had his boys fired up and ready to go at IU. And, you know, he's coached a few of the guys on my squad. So, you know, it was good for those, for, you know, Teddy O'Reilly and Chase Fisher to meet up with Pete there and Connor Gatenby as well. So there was some you know, banter back and forth, but everybody handled it well. You know, Indiana really is a quality squad. You know, they take the ball to the cage and they're tough defensively. We were lucky enough to get a few by their contender, who absolutely was spectacular in the third and fourth quarter in that game.
One of the biggest stories coming out of Bloomington is Pete Nelson taking over the head coaching role for Peter Tumas. And Coach Nelson obviously has had a lot to be excited for this year. Also the head coach of the club hockey team out there in Indiana. And, you know, he always seems to get pumped up for games in Minnesota. A Minnesota guy himself, played at Duluth, had many battles against the Gophers in his own playing days. And we'll see how that squad continues to develop as they look to hopefully make their first MCLA tournament. And Coach, we'll shift gears a bit. You know, we had Coach Brent Hoskins on from Simon Fraser, and we talked about having Zach Bosch last week. And whenever you're talking to lacrosse coaches in Canada or Minnesota or Michigan, anywhere in that north central region, especially this day and age, you know, the debate continues as if lacrosse should be a specialization sport or if young athletes who aspire to play lacrosse should have opportunities to play something else. And, you know, at this point, there are two things that are constantly debated, is if how much the sports of hockey and box lacrosse can translate into a field lacrosse player's development. And of course, should a dedicated field lacrosse player be even wasting his time playing hockey or box lacrosse for that matter if he wants to play field lacrosse at the highest level? You are a passionate hockey guy, a former goalie, butterfly style in your own right. I'm sure a lot of your players have a lot of hockey experience growing up, such as the kids who play at NDSU and Simon Fraser. What's your overall opinion on this, Coach Limper?
Well, you know, I think players should try and play everything. If it's golf, if it's hockey, if it's lacrosse, I mean, there's all, you know, there's different things that you can take from each one of those as it pertains to lacrosse and hockey. Clearly, they're very similar. You know, and if you're truly a lacrosse player or truly a hockey player, you're going to be playing your other sports in tune with what you're doing anyway. So you're going to be doing it all year round. But changing the focus from spring to summer to winter, I think that's good for the guys. You know, you get around another group of players, you get on the ice to play some hockey. You know, you've constantly got your stick in your hand throughout that whole season, working on wall ball, going to some camps. But your focus in the winter then is hockey. And then when you get to spring, then it's focused on lacrosse, maybe even summer. But I think it's good just for the health of the players' minds to do something different. And then also there's just little areas of that. I know when I was coaching hockey under Wes Bolin at Woodbury High School, I took a bunch of the hockey players and introduced them to lacrosse. And Wes was really, he didn't know what to expect with that. When his players came back to him in the winter, first thing he said to me is, he goes, there is an absolute clear sight line on who went and played lacrosse with you and came back, because their sticks on the ice were so much better. I think that translate into lacrosse as well. I mean, there is a lot of speed to the game of hockey, and if these guys are playing both, I think it's a good thing. As far as, you know, Canadian box lacrosse, I really think that if younger kids are playing lacrosse, it's a great thing to get involved in box lacrosse. I know the Swarm has done a great job reaching out to Minnesota youth players. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't translate all that well to have little bitty kids on a full field. So it helps to corral practice. It helps to keep it fast paced. The kids can work in tight spaces rather than have 90 yards to work with or half a field. So, you know, doing different things is what I will do with my kids. I want to expose them to a lot, let them pick what they like. It doesn't necessarily have to be lacrosse or hockey, but I think they'll kind of gravitate towards it because we try to make it fun.
Coming from the opinion of a great coach and a great father, a father of three out there in Minnesota who doubles as a chauffeur, I'm sure, between hockey and gymnastics and soccer and lacrosse and whatever else your kids keep you busy with. But, you know, Coach, it made real headlines last year when Nick Jonas was drafted by the Minnesota Swarm. And it's not because this was the member of a boy band that was playing professional lacrosse. It was because a member of your lacrosse team at the University of Minnesota, an MCLA player, was going to join this rare fraternity of MCLA guys that were going to get to play professionally at the next level. Simon Frazier's had a handful of guys that have played in the NLL. Nick Jonas, your guy, got drafted by the Minnesota Swarm. Boise State has a few alums in the NLL. Of course, there's Connor Martin of the Ohio Machine, who played at Chapman, and Breakin Kolitz from Michigan, who got drafted by the Bayhawks. But the most interesting thing to me about Nick is, you know, the more that I read about him and the more that I, you know, researched him, he wasn't necessarily an outstanding All-American caliber player. As a matter of fact, he had some transitions that may have even helped him become a professional indoor lacrosse player, because at times in his career, he had a bit of an identity crisis with a long pole in his hand and a short stick, playing attack, playing defense. But last year, he emerged from your depth chart and really started to make a difference and made his way all the way to the NLL draft in Toronto. I mean, what light can you shed on the Nick Jonas story?
Well, first and foremost, Nick is just a great person. Individually, he's a driven athlete, and he did what it took on his own really to go and pursue that. He, you know, after his 4 years of playing MCLA lacrosse were over, he wanted to continue on doing something that he loved to do. And, you know, lucky enough that John and Andy Arlotta were willing to give him a chance there. But, you know, they really liked what they saw in his work ethic. Not only that, but he was actually contributing to their tryout process when he was playing. I mean, he had a couple big goals, I know, in the combine up in Toronto. And even more further to the point of Nick being driven was he put the money together and arranged his travel up to Toronto with really, I guess, I'm not sure how many people thought he was going to be drafted, but Nick was wearing suit and tie and sitting there in the chairs, you know, hoping more than anything else that the work that he had done in the offseason would pay off. And boy, it did. You know, back to what you were talking about with him working his way up the depth chart. You know, as we had some challenges with our polls last year, guys were pushing each other, always positive. Nick was asking what he could do to get better. And you could see him working at it, playing wall ball, you know, starting early at practice, ending late, like, you know, the cliche goes, but he was doing it. He had the biggest play of our conference championship, or to get us to the conference championship, when we beat Mankato in overtime. He had a nugget that he pulled out of the air and got it down the field, and we ended up scoring. So, you know, things started picking up for Nick a little bit late in that season, but he kept him going after the season was over and parlayed it into being drafted. You know, the Swarm have been absolute fantastic owners. and contributing a ton to our community up here. And I don't think that this is one of those where they did it just to be nice. I think they did it because they saw a need, because they actually traded to gather another pick and grab Nick, bring him into the rookie camp. So, you know, hats off to Nick, hats off to the Swarm for having vision to it. And, you know, I thought what I thought was great was just the whole NLL layout for the draft. So, oh, it was a great thing for everybody here.
No question. Coming right off the box lacrosse influence question, you play enough box to keep a short stick in your hands, you shoot for the moon and you land amongst the stars. And Nick Jonas, a little-known player out of the University of Minnesota's lacrosse program, getting drafted by the Minnesota Swarm. Absolutely unbelievable. So, Coach, we'll shift gears on you once again here. Your program is a very good one. The University of Minnesota has won the UMLC and made it to the MCLA tournament before. You had the AQ back this year, and it should be a good battle between you guys and Duluth to see who makes it to Orange County. But, you know, in the scheme and the growth of the sport of lacrosse, the hype around the Big Ten can't be ignored, with the changes that Rutgers and Maryland are making with their athletic administration, the way that Johns Hopkins is jumping in as an affiliate member. Obviously, the way that Michigan came out of the MCLA was a very big proponent of this. Your athletic director, Norwood Teague, has spoke positively about the lacrosse influence in Minnesota and how he would like to see a Division I team get implemented under his tenure. You've had conversations with him about this. What is in Minnesota lacrosse's future? I mean, you always strive to be as competitive as possible in the MCLA. It was a little known secret that you were, figuring out ways to make the UMLC better and more competitive during last year's off season. What is, the overall update with the potential of the Minnesota Golden Gophers bittersweetly leaving the MCLA at some point to join greener pastures of the Big Ten and the NCAA?
Well, I think it's a very realistic possibility, and I would, if I had to venture to say, I'd say that it would be somewhere in 3 to 5 years is what I would guess. That's the layout. There's a lot going on with the football team, some expansion, some new facilities going on here. So there's a lot of money being put into the sport. We are in the need of bringing two teams on if we would go. So I believe both the men's and women's are the next logical step is to move them both into Division One. I think there's definitely a market here for that. And, you know, the community here in Minnesota is very tight, both with boys, girls, men's and women's. If we were to bring something like that to the community, we've seen it happen when, you know, just bringing boys and girls lacrosse to the high school varsity stage and having it sanctioned as a MSHSL varsity sport. I mean, they came from all over the place and the numbers grew. I think the fan base would grow. I'm not sure that it would be a money sport or something that's going to, you know, bring in tons of revenue to the school. But at the same time, if we are building in popularity and, I think it's a great thing for the whole state, you know, mm-hmm. with us, Duluth has got to be ready. You know, they are, the premier program, or they have been over the last 15 to 18 years in the MCLA here. Mm-hmm. We've been right there, Minnesota State, Mankato. There's a lot that can be done with these WCHA or Big Ten schools, if you bring those in to play. So, you know, I think it's in their plans. I know that there's been a lot of talk about it behind closed doors. I know that money is an issue. From what I've heard, it's in the millions for both the boys, or the men's and the women's. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a process to set that up and get into place. But there's a lot of people that support it. My role right now is to get this program as close as what happened there.
My dogs. We knew that the dogs were going to cause a problem, Rich.
sounded like you're anyway. So I think there's a lot of good things in place. I think that my role here is to try and get this program looking, acting, feeling as much like that. So when we do have the opportunity to go Division I, that you know, we've started a little bit of fanfare. So we have our TCF Bank games and the Chris Jenkin Memorial Invitational. And those this year are tightly wound with teams that could potentially go Division I, and that's UMD and Wisconsin. I know Sam's got his guys ready, and, you know, they'll be coming down. And it should be a good game. I think we'll have two quality games there, and hopefully we'll be able to sell enough tickets to make the bank look a little, it's going to be tough to fill that place, but at least we can get a few people in one section, and it'll look like a good crowd came out. So we're looking for big things. I think everybody's working together, be it you know, UMD, us, St. Cloud State, all the schools around here. The coaches are really tight. We talk a lot. We work together. And, you know, when it comes time to play, we compete. But I think the best thing for all of us going out here would be to have the Gophers go Division I. And I think it's in the plans. So.
Excellent. And, you know, you mentioned so much right there with your history and seeing the sport grow in Minnesota at the high school level, which you were a big part of, you know, being the former head coach at Woodbury Forest High School, where so many great graduates from your high school program went on to have outstanding careers in the MCLA. And, you know, to make your connection a little bit deeper going into this weekend, you have two games against Minnesota State Mankato and Iowa State. Mankato is your alma mater. You played them last year. There are a lot of guys on this Mankato team who you coached in high school. I mean, I know, you know, we talked about Pete Nelson, Indiana, and I know that he was a little bit extra excited to play his alma mater, Minnesota Duluth. You take a look at this weekend, you know, on paper, what are the biggest concerns in the scouting report, and, you know, how special is it for you to have an opportunity to go to the Shattuck St. Mary's Dome and play in a premier indoor facility against your alma mater, your old team?
Oh, that's great. You know, Tom Corey's done a fantastic job with that team. And last year we came out on the fortunate end of two overtime games with them. You know, you look at the guys that they have on their roster, Mike Kaprooki, Connor King, John Hagan, Nate Dawkins, guys that are very close to me and my family personally. So I know Coach Pat Donahue as well, our defensive coordinator at the U here, is very tight with those boys as well. So we stay in touch all the time, you know, but again, when we get to the field, we're going to compete. I might get some nasty looks from Mr. Kaprooki or some of the parents, but it's all in fun. The guys are playing really well. Obviously, they're undefeated. And, you know, this is what I've been hoping for the Mankato boys since they left our program at Woodbury, was that they'd go down to a quality school with, you know, at that time, we didn't know what the coaching staff was going to be, but Dylan Dickey had him, so I was comfortable with them going to play for him. And then Tom Corey comes in, and, you know, he's done great things. So it's going to be an interesting game. I think we match up well, and it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to, you know, the remainder of the schedule. But, you know, we put these guys late in the season because I think it's going to get us ready for the end of the year. You know, that's the point, is you want to be ready at the right time. And these guys certainly play a part in this.
Yeah, pretty interesting. You play your last two regional conference games before really testing yourselves against the two powers of the CCLA, just like there was that CCLA-UMLC clash last weekend. It'll certainly be like that in Michigan come April 19th and April 20th when you play the MSU Spartans and the Davenport Panthers. But Coach Limpert, on an ending note, you've seen so much different realms of lacrosse development, from the high school level to Minnesota, to the college level in Minnesota, to the extent that you're at a university now, that, you know, several years ago and even up until, you know, 5 years ago, nobody thought would be, you know, a school that belongs to a conference that sponsors lacrosse in any way. You know, you're a former MCLA player, so to speak. You came into this job as a high school coach who sent players off to many good MCLA programs. A lot of changes happening, a new president in Ken Lovick, a new tournament site in Orange County, California. Rich Limpert, what is, you know, obviously 3 to 5 years down the road, you might be looking at bigger things in the NCAA, but, you know, as a lacrosse development guy, as a guy who's done so much, has done such a good job being a flag bearer for the sport at so many different levels. You know, why is the MCLA special to you at this point, and what is your overall opinion on the growth of our, on the stance and current status of our league?
Well, it's come a long way from when I was playing, and that's a good thing. You know, you've got some representation here in Minnesota with Rob Graff, Chris Larson, and Pete Moosberger. They do a fantastic job with representing our state, organizing us here. But the MCLA as a whole is in great hands with Ken Lovick. You know, obviously we just went down and played Georgia Tech and first class all the way with those guys down there and their staff. You know, just from the look of the website to the feel of it when you're searching through that, I mean, it looks the part, you know. The product on the field certainly is the part. The officiating is getting better as a whole. You know, and they're working hard. You know, they, these guys, some of the refs that were that are coaching now were coaching me when I played in 95. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the community's growing, and they're growing with good people. I think that's where it starts. I mean, there's a lot of good people in the game that we play. There's a lot of good people that didn't have the opportunity to go play Division One, Division Two, or Division Three, and here we are. They're in the MCLA, either in Division One or Two. You know, there's a ton of growth, and we're filling the needs in as we speak. I know there's some Division II programs that are starting mm-hmm. in the MCLA here that have just grabbed a hold of fantastic head coaches that I know are going to get those programs up and going. I can speak to a couple. Bethel and St. Olaf have grabbed two great head coaches in Travis Sanders and Hank Morosky. Those guys are doing what it takes, and I know that's just our little snapshot here, but it's happening everywhere across the MCLA. You can see it as you go on here and you follow deeper into teams' websites. They take some pride in how they present themselves. They've got team photos. They've got accurate stats. We're starting to have things like this where we're on the internet on podcasts. And, you know, we're getting guys like you to organize that stuff. It's a team role that all of us play, and we pull it together, and at the end of it, the MCLA is the product. I think it's fantastic.
And, Coach, well, as we wrap up the podcast, we'll ask you one more time to put your analyst cap on. A lot of great weekend action. We mentioned the fact that you'll be playing your last two conference regional games against your alma mater, Minnesota State, as well as Iowa State. Colorado plays Sonoma on Friday. Minnesota Duluth has Davenport on Friday as well. On Saturday, Colorado has Stanford, Dayton Grove City is a bit, pretty big CCLA game. Arizona State is a headliner for Saturday, and Cal Poly Sonoma State is the big one on Sunday, as well as Minnesota Duluth, Michigan State. Now, you know, we've said Minnesota Duluth's name a lot of CCLA schools in there. You don't want to be too much of a Midwestern homer, but as a really experienced MCLA guy and someone who's, you know, so well-versed in the media, of this of these games, what do you think, besides your own, will be the most exciting?
Oh, boy. You know, UMD, they're a great program. I'd like to see what happens with that. That's going to be a tough test. And, you know, our games here, I'd like to say that we're peaking at the right time. So I think we got to go and shake up the Woodbury boys that are down at Mankato and get after Tom a little bit. yeah, it's all in fun. I think, you know, those are going to be exciting for us. And you know, beyond that, I mean, I may be kind of missing your question here, but really the big deal for us at, in our program is the game against UMD in Wisconsin.
Absolutely, and that's
the following week. So you know, there's a lot on our plate. Every none of them is more important than the last. So we got to take them one at a time. Maybe that's a boring answer, but I think that's the right one. Is we've got to take one thing at a time. Iowa State's in there too, and they're not going to back down. So we have six games left. We're excited about all of them, and we're ready to see what it's like to go out and play Michigan State and Davenport.
Absolutely. Coach Limpert, we thank you so much for your time this evening on the MCLA podcast, and that will be a wrap on another episode here from New York. As always, we once again thank our guest, Rich Limpert. We congratulate our recipients of 15 Minutes of Fame, in addition to Rich Limpert, Zach Bosch, the Division II Head Coach of the Week from North Dakota State, Jacob Helmer, the Division II Player of the Week out of St. John's. Three of the four 15 minutes of fame honorees coming out of the UMLC. And then, of course, Ward Spencer from Simon Fraser. Thanks, as always, to our executive producers from Inside the Cross, Terry Foy and John Gelati. That will do it for this evening. A great weekend ahead. Colorado is out in California. Sonoma State wraps things up with a conference game against Cal Poly. Arizona State, a big one. The last Arizona State battle that Chris Malone will be coaching in. It was announced just a few hours ago that Coach Malone will be leaving Arizona State at the conclusion of the season to take a full-time youth director position with 3D Lacrosse in Los Angeles. I've already spoken to Coach Malone about this. He will not be involved in the hiring process of a new coach in Tempe. However, he has guaranteed us that the task at hand for him and his team is to concentrate on 2014 and finish things out strong with a national championship. We will see you next week on the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast.
Inside Lacrosse podcast.